Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
How much do you earn? Would you ever ask somebody that question? Because from next year, a new EU directive on pay transparency is set to come into force in June, where employers will no longer be able to ask job candidates about their current salary. And when they're advertising job vacancies, employers will have to give a salary range. But will it create greater clarity around wages? Do we actually need this level of pay transparency? Irish Independent columnist Mary McCarthy is with me on the line today. Mary, just first of all, do you think these new rules due to come in next year will bring about greater pay transparency?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Thanks for having me on. You know, they will, and they'll have to. So basically, it's going to be interposed next year, which means it comes into law, but we won't actually see the effects because companies will be given a year to comply with that. So it'll be June 2027, and then everything is going to blow up, Andrea, because I really feel this EU pay transparency directive is going to make a difference. So basically, there's two parts of it. So there's one is the pay transparency. So this means that if you're working for a company, they're going to have to say either in the if they have a vacancy, they're going to have to say in the ad how much, what the pay range is, or else before the interview. They're going to not be able to tell employees they can't talk about their pay. This goes on, Andrea, a lot. Like, I talked to so many people in different industries for this article I have today in the Indo, and so many people told me they weren't actually allowed to talk to their employees. So that's going to be...
Sorry, Mary, to cut across you, but the colleagues in the same company doing the same job, that they were told they weren't allowed to chat to their friend or their colleague about what they earn.
So they're told, this is your bonus, this is your pay, but you're not allowed to discuss it. So you're not allowed to discuss it with your colleagues, right? This is like in Ireland. I mean, Indeed have a very, really interesting survey that they just... they just carried out in February. That's the employment website. And they found that 41% of people had found out that colleagues have been paid more than them in for doing a similar job.
Which is an infuriating thing to find out.
Can you imagine? Andrea, like, a friend of mine told me she was a project manager, and they went out for like a boozy Christmas lunch, and she found out this lad, he joined 3 months after her, and he was getting paid 30% more than her. So, like, this is all gone because employers are going to be banned from telling their employees that they can't discuss it. And then they're also going to have to be, if employees ask on request, so let's say you say to your management, look, how much is Kieran getting for the hard shoulder? They have to tell you. So it's just going to become a lot more transparent. And then the second part of the directive is pay equity. So that means that companies, they're going to have categories of workers, and that kind of includes like skills, effort, responsibility, working conditions.
Yeah.
So this is a real headache for HR at the moment. Like, HR, they're getting ready. Ask anyone who works in HR for a large enough company, and they'll be getting ready for this because they're going to have to categorise all these workers, right?
But will workers in different categories be able to know, you know, what their maybe more senior colleagues or junior colleagues are earning?
Well, they're going to be able to. They have the entitlement to ask, and then the employer has to tell them, and they also have to give kind of a clear criteria for how you move into the next pay range. So actually, IBEC last week, Andrea, they warned that. In the UK, they had similar pay transparency kind of laws come into place already. And there's been legal cases, for example, with Next, the retailer, the warehouse workers and the retailers, the people on the shop floor, they were deemed to be in the same category. But the shop assistants were being paid less. So Next had to pay out 30 million to compensate them. So I do think this is, I mean, you kind of imagine people, there is transparency already, but actually if you dig deep, look at the research. In Ireland, so 41% of job advertisements on the Indeed website have the salary listed. So you can see there's a lot of transparency that's not taking place. Mm-hmm. And actually when people are asked, almost everybody would prefer to see what the salary paid before they went for a job. And like I've been in, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have been in interviews where they've been asked about their salary expectations, or they've either been asked how
much is a cute way of asking what are you currently earning.
It is. And actually half of people said they had been asked in a job interview what you'd been on. And it puts you on the job on the back foot then, because, you know, people can be in jobs and they're underpaid for years and years because they don't have the gumption to ask for a pay rise. You know, that goes on. And it just... So anyway, this pay transparency, to answer your initial question, I think it will make a difference.
No.
Yes, and it'll have to.
The interesting thing is, this already exists in the public sector, and we look to the likes of the guards, the nurses and the teachers. I mean, if I look to my colleagues in RTE, the salary ranges are already there. The same for any other civil servant. You know, you can very easily do a quick Google and you'll find out what people are earning. This really affects the private sector, Mary.
It does, absolutely. So the 16% of workers are working in the public sector. So they've had pay transparency forever. Like, my husband's a civil servant, and you can look at any colleague and you know what they're earning. And actually, it's, you know, it's a bit kind of, I think it makes for a workforce where people stay longer because they feel they feel like they're getting more of a fair deal, because people jump around for pay. Like, I mean, you jump around for more flexible working and all that kind of stuff, but the research shows the main reason is pay. And like, Andrea, it's so hard to make ends meet today in Ireland, you know, so it does make a difference. If you're going to be getting an extra 10 grand or whatever, that makes a difference.
Or that, you know, you have capacity to earn, you know, an extra 5 or 10 grand in the company that you're in over the course of a couple of years. It might actually allow for a greater level of longevity by staff in companies too. Stay with us, Mary, for a few moments. I want to bring in Richard Late. Richard's a professor of sociology at Trinity College in Dublin. Now, Richard, if there's one thing I very, 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 very rarely talk to close friends about, it's how much we earn. Like, are Irish people uncomfortable with this?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, the answer to that, the simple answer. People are really uncomfortable with it. So I do quite a few different surveys with members of the public. And within those surveys, people are really reticent about being asked about their income and giving detailed information about income. And we have lots of missing data in our surveys when asked about income. So we have to do various things to try to increase response rates and then repair that missing data. And people are happier to talk about a range of other things and try to get away from income. And that's kind of not surprising in many ways, is it? Because if you think about it, income directly reflects upon your status in society. You know, we see income as a really important component, along with other factors like, you know, your occupational level or your education, as being kind of a marker about you, about, and it's a very personal thing. So people can be very coy about wanting to come forward with their income information, even in these kind of academic or policy surveys.
Yeah, like, I wonder, would it actually bring, like, Mary's arguing the point that she thinks it'll, you know, it will bring greater, productivity in workplaces if there is this level of clarity around wages. Do you agree, Richard?
On the productivity question, I think there's not really good evidence to be able to put forward about that one, okay? But what it will do in terms of transparency is that it will make employers be more likely to have to pay employees on a more equal basis. So the reason why those employers, and this is becoming a wider employment practice, the reason why they don't want people talking about their incomes with each other is because people may just then be offended and make that judgment that actually they're going to ask their boss for a raise to make sure they're getting equality. And let's face it, okay, employers want to be able to differentiate between their employees, don't they? They would like to be able to pay them as the minimum that they have to. And so if employees know about the details of everybody else's pay, well, then they're probably going to militate for more pay, aren't they?
Louisa Meehan is a HR and dispute resolution expert. How do you think the private sector will respond to this, Louisa?
I think it'll be very, very mixed. And I think when we talk about the private sector, we sort of clump all organisations into the one big bucket. This is very different in terms of large organisations. And most large organisations will have pay ranges for all of the roles within their organisation. They don't necessarily always share those ranges. Sometimes they'll have what's called a spot salary. So somebody's on a salary, but that salary will be within a broad range that the HR people within that organisation, that the senior management in that organisation have access to make sure everybody doing the same type of job or the same jobs of the same sort of value are paid an equivalent amount. it's quite challenging. You know, when we talk about equal value to an organization, employees sometimes can view their work as being of equal value to somebody else. And that may very well be correct from their perspective, but that might not be the perspective of the employer. And there's also an issue of scarcity. So some people will get paid a premium because the skill set that they have, it's not that it's of equal or of more important value, but it may be a scarcer resource in the market. It might be a harder role to fill or a harder role to find the appropriate person for. And so therefore you may pay a premium to the individual that's in that position because they're very difficult to replace. So there's a whole range of different things that go into this. And I think the premise of the legislation that's coming in, of the directive, is really about addressing or further addressing the gender pay gap. And it's looking at organisations predominantly with over 50 employees. And it makes a lot of sense in those situations that we have a degree of transparency. But transparency, I think, more in terms of the range for different roles, as opposed to me knowing what the person sitting to the left or the right of me is earning, because their specific salary is private to them, firstly, but also there might be a whole host of different reasons as to why their salary is different to mine.
But there's also the other reason, Louisa, is just that some people are just better at their job than others. And should be paid more.
Some people are just better.
It's just as simple
as that.
And
some people are better negotiators. And some people, you know, came up earlier about moving from job to job. Some people, where they do move, they increase their salary, they gain more experience, they learn from different industries, different sectors, different organizations. And so, you know, on paper, they might have the same qualifications or the same skills, but actually they've got a broader breadth of experience that's more valuable to the organization, maybe a wider network of contacts that they're bringing into the organization with potential customers or suppliers.
Okay.
So, you know, it can get complicated to sort of compare like with like. It's the next example, you know, warehouse people versus shop floor people. You can kind of compare big buckets fairly easily. But when you get into highly specialised roles...
Yeah, and middle management is sort of... You could see there have been a couple of fairly awkward conversations in the canteen and at the 11 o'clock break around people in the middle management area. What about you, Cathy? Would you like to know what your colleagues earn? Cathy's not there, is she? No, I think... Have we Nuala with us on the line in Dublin? Nuala, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Good. Would you like to know what your colleagues earn?
I think it's we all should know what each other is earning, because there can be a lot of look at your one over there, she does nothing all day, blah blah blah, you know, or somebody who just gets their head down and gets stuck into everything. I think it is hard to sort of say you know, X and Y are being paid different amounts of money and they do the same job. I think their level of experience and time, so it should. At least the wages start at depending on or are between A and B, depending on experience and qualifications and that kind of thing. Because it's hard to judge, particularly in the corporate world, it's hard to judge, I think, you know, two people for exactly the same job, because it's not always exactly the same, if you understand me, you know.
What about you, Donal? Would you like to know what your counterparts in the same company as you earn?
Well, I'm coming at it from a different angle. I think they've already made their mind up in Europe as to what's happening, and this reeks of Marxism. Let me ask you, just you personally and the other people listening, what determines wages? What determines a person's salary? And when people can answer that question, the answer to the discussion we're having is within that. This is not about I have to know and all this talk about equality. Equality doesn't exist. It's a word that's bantered around and it doesn't exist. We're all right teams if equality exists.
So you don't care to know whether what your other colleagues are making, Donal?
I'm interested in myself and what I can earn. You know, and I need to know that I can earn more. And if I'm not working, I'm earning less. It's nobody's business, only mine. And I go back to this directive that's going to come from Europe. This is a move for Marxism. This is not open market policy. This is not free market economics. Believe me when I tell you that.
Okay. We have interesting text from Niall. He says, I'm delighted to hear this news. I refuse to apply for any job that doesn't show a salary range. Keeping this info secret tells me all I need to know about the company in question. Another listener, what a load of rubbish. Some people are more productive and should be rewarded for that. This texter is asking, I'm in that position where I believe others in the very same job are getting paid more, but I can't challenge it as I don't have evidence and this company makes millions. It's really cloak and dagger. Is this new directive going to allow me to ask that now? Like, a fairly mixed reaction, Mary, to this. I mean, I take it you want to know what your colleagues earn.
Well, I think it would be interesting to see, yeah. I mean, just to reply there to Donal, I mean, the thing is, we have to strive towards equality. He was saying there's no such thing, but we have to strive towards it. And this is the whole reason behind this directive is to, you know, to aim for more transparency. And, you know, the burden of proof is going to be on the employer to show pay, to show the pay why your salary is what it is. And to answer there to Louisa's comment, there, like, it is complicated, but the salary you get shouldn't depend on how good your negotiating skills are. I mean, that is, I mean, that to me, that's the gender pay gap. There you go. And then Richard also, he is right. Our place in society is sort of reflected by our salary. And I think that also needs to go. We're so much more than our salary, like the amount of voluntary work that we put in, that people put in. You know, we need to start looking wider and valuing more than that. But, you know, it does come down, Andrea, if you get paid more, you've got more of a comfortable life. And if you, you know, if you at the moment can't afford to give your kids what they want and you feel like that quarter there that you're not being paid the same as your colleagues, I mean, that's wrong.
It's very hard and it's very demoralising, actually, when you're in a workplace and you know, when you do hear, because let's be honest, when people do talk anecdotally, you do hear things, references are made. It happens in every industry. It's very, very demoralising when you hear that and realise that maybe people that aren't performing as well as you are in your job are getting paid more money than you. It's very hard to take. I think a lot of our listeners will actually be delighted to see this come to pass from next June. Well, as Mary said, it could probably in real terms, it'll be 2027 before you actually start to see the numbers being crunched. But it's going to be a headache for HR. There's no question about that. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Mary McCarthy, Irish Independent columnist. Richard Late, who is a professor of sociology at Trinity. Louisa Meehan is from Woodview HR. Donal, Cathy Nuala, thanks a million for getting in touch.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.